Blog Talk Radio.
What is up, everyone? Welcome to the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Hopefully, everyone is having as good of a Thursday as you could possibly have. Make it Friday Eve. I guess that would have been better, huh, for me to say it like that. Anyway, hopefully, everyone is good. We've got a jam-packed show for you today. We've got so much stuff to get into. You would think there were sports being actually played right now. The NBA will be back. The Board of Governors voted unanimously, easily, to bring back a 22-team format. So they will be back playing basketball. I'm going to read you the bottom line of how the playoff system will work. So if you weren't good at calculus, you probably won't be good at this either. But I'm going to read that to you. Jake Fromm, Drew Brees, all apologizing. Part of me says, why apologize if it's what you feel is what you said? Baseball still can't get out of their own way. And then, of course, I have the one, the only, Ed Cole, big-time sports personality, former digital media producer for the Washington Redskins. He's going to be joining me shortly. So that's enough of me talking. Let's get to this. This is The Cave Show. We're brought to you by Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. 4991 South Alma School, with the curfew and with COVID and everything else, they're still open. You can still go in. You can still sit down, relax, smoke a stick. But they're only open 10 till 7 right now. That way it gives you a chance to get home to beat the curfew of 8 o'clock. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, one of the best cigar selections you will find in the Valley. Let them know PLR sent you. 10% will come off of your cigar purchase. They do serve beer and wine. You can become a club member. All that good stuff. If you cannot make it in there physically, no worries. Stogie World, S-T-O-A-G-I-E, world.com. Go online, order your cigar. Most orders are fulfilled and sent out that same day. So that's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
This is Elio Cobo with the Phoenix Suns, and I'm in the Cave with PLR.
This is PLR. Welcome to the Cave Show. Let's get a loaded call-in number. 917-889-7828. That is the Kerry Lackey Law Line. I am going to bring my guest on, but I'm going to also let him take a couple of these calls with me. I do have a couple calls on hold. We're going to be kind of spot with time today, but I definitely want to hear your voices. But first, let me introduce the man himself, former digital producer for media producer for the Washington Redskins, sports personality. He's all over this valley. He's in touch with everything. The one, the only, Ed Cole. What's up, my brother? How you doing?
PLR, what's going on, brother? Thank you again for having me on your show, man. I appreciate it.
And you never have to thank me for being on the show. We do it old time's sake. I wanted to bring you in a little early, see if you want to take a couple of these calls with me real quick.
Absolutely.
Let's do it. I have a caller holding on the Kerry Lackey Law Line. Thank you for holding in the Cave Show with PLR and the one, the only, Ed Cole.
Paul, you there?
You with me? Yep.
Yeah.
Hey, Lou, buddy.
Okay. For a minute, that's the way of that connection. All right.
Good connection.
Well, okay. Well, I couldn't be happier. I mean, the NBA is back. Oh, thank goodness. The vote was taken today, and it was passed overwhelmingly, 29-1. Only one person, who shall be nameless, voted against it. They never tell you who it is who did not go for the vote. I wonder why.
Because they don't want to shame an owner.
Well,
and it doesn't
matter.
Well,
we know which team it is, but you know, I guess do you not want to reveal who it is? Well, everybody online knows who it is if they read on the internet.
Yes.
Yeah,
I
that's
do.
True. That's true.
Well, you know, there's one in every crowd anyway, you know.
let's be kind to that person. They have enough problems.
That's true. But I'm just happy that it's coming back, and, you know, I'll be ready for it.
Absolutely. I think we're all ready for it, Lou. I mean, goodness gracious, we've been without sports for almost 3 months now. So
3 months.
We need something to kind of get our minds kind of off.
Exactly.
Our minds will always be on what's going on. Now we can't get away from it, but at least we can get some kind of release and some kind of respite from what's going on, you know, to kind of ease our minds and ease all the tension in the world, right?
Right. Okay. I know this is going to be like a kind of a strange question now, considering even though the season hasn't started yet, but do you have any picks for the NBA final?
An LA team versus the Bucks. How's that?
Yeah.
Okay, was the same LA team I'm thinking of, or is it baby brother?
An LA team versus the Bucks. I don't know.
I'll leave it at that. Okay. I'll leave it at that. Okay.
Here's the deal, and I'll jump ahead on this one, Lou, because you bring up a good point. I think both teams have certain issues that we'll see how they work out. Clippers have two new superstars that never really got to play together, so they'll have almost a month and a half to get together and play as a cohesive unit. The Lakers, on the other hand, they play well together, but they're also older, and older players sometimes have an issue with their body clock stopping and then restarting.
True.
So we'll see how they manage through it. Milwaukee was just playing well, and everyone that's injured is back. Every other team will be interesting, but like I said, it'll be an LA team versus Milwaukee, I believe.
Right. Even if it is baby brother.
I think there's a team that could possibly eliminate the Clippers, but I think the Clippers are better than the Lakers. If that makes any sense, the way I said that.
To each his own.
Yes,
to each his own.
I do because the one thing that the Lakers have that's obviously better than anybody. They have LeBron and they have AD. But what they don't have is they don't have any great wing players. Outside of those two, they are deficient at point guard. They're deficient at the big, which is to the Clippers, and they're deficient at the two guard. And the positions that the Clippers guard real well, they have Pitbull and Beverly at point. They got Paul George and Kawhi who can switch everything. They're basically the same defender. And then you have those other serviceable bigs that should get exposed, but since the Lakers don't have any bigs, they can't expose them. So I think defensively they're a much better team, and offensively they do enough to be able to outscore the Lakers, and that's why.
Mm-hmm. Okay, it makes sense. Now, for your guest, and I know I've asked you this yesterday, Paul, but do you think that baseball is gone for the season, Ed?
I sure hope not. I know they were talking about like an abbreviated season and all, you know, prorating salaries and all this stuff to appease the players. But I would love to have some sort of season. I don't know. I don't think they'll get 162 games.
No.
They have to have some sort of a season just to bring baseball back. I mean, it would set that sport back a lot to not have a complete season. They've got to have some sort of season.
And I thought the 94 strike was bad. Well, the 81 strike was bad enough, too. You know, this would be a devastating blow.
Yeah.
Maybe those
you know, when that sport is desperately trying to get fans and people in their stadiums and to watch them on TV, for them to not have any kind of season, like you said, Lou, that would severely hurt them.
If it hasn't already.
Yes.
You know, hey, I mean, that was supposed to.
You just got to get a home run chase. And have a couple people taking steroids. Isn't that how they brought it back
course,
last time?
Well, the ball's juicing up, and of course, the ever popular case of the Wonder Bat.
Or the tight baseball.
Right. Well, you know, the Wonder Bat. That makes you hit 100 home runs a year.
I don't know, man. I think baseball's dropping a proverbial ball here. They could have been the only major four playing, and they dropped the ball.
Right. True. Yep. And then the NHL just kind of swept in and said, okay, here's our format. And then the NBA said that today they approved their format. So, you know, they've got their two set. We know the NFL is going to have some sort of season. So, you know, at least three of the four major sports have their situations together. MLB's got to get it together.
Hold it. You said three or four. It's actually four or five. Oh, wait. You don't count them all as soccer? Oh. Ah, well. I do. I admit it. I like soccer. Paul knows.
Yeah, you're right, Lou. Soccer is a major sport. I actually do like soccer. So, yeah, you're right. Four of the five major sports. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, okay, I know. I know because 95% of the population doesn't care, but I'm one of the small figures that actually does care because I also am old enough to remember the old soccer league in this country. Oh, my God, I am old.
Oh, Fargo State.
Sorry, I'm a Cosmos fan.
I was about to say the New York Cosmos.
Cosmos.
Didn't you get Pele to, play for you?
Sure did. I went to see him play in 1976.
I wasn't born then.
I was young myself.
I wasn't born until 96. I'm sticking with that story.
What? What?
Yeah, right. Come on.
Yeah, Lou, don't believe anything this guy says. Don't believe the majority of the stuff this guy says.
3 years, and three years he does that on me. Okay. I haven't published in 3 years.
Oh, my goodness.
But, hey, Lou, listen, we got to jump, my man. I appreciate you. Make sure you hit us up tomorrow.
Oh, I
Thank
will.
You, Lou.
Try to hit me up on my show, guys, if you can. Oh, and if Ed Cole wants to know, the name of the show is The Enhanced Sports Show. I'm on Saturdays 5 to 7 p.m. That's East Coast time, by the way. You're in Chicago?
We're in Arizona.
Arizona. Oh, you're in Arizona, too. Okay, well, that's 2 hours or 3 hours in back of me. And the number to call is 512-543-4662. So if you can get a chance on Saturday and 5 to 7 my time or whatever time is in your area, feel free to call.
Okay. The Enhanced Sports Show.
Friend.
Absolutely.
Correct.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, gentlemen.
All righty. Thank you. Hey, Ed, we're going to step away for about 15 seconds before we come back. Just got to pay a couple bills real quick.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School and Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
Hey, this is Mikal Bridges with the Phoenix Suns. I'm in a cave with PLR.
Welcome back to the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Happy Thursday to one and to all. Don't forget, if you ever miss this show whatsoever and you want to catch a replay, you can always go to the website. You can always click on our social media, or you can go simply to KSRN. Make sure you download that app. Not only do you get great sport and talk content, but you also get a good music content as well. So make sure you're checking them out. No matter what, even if you listen to the show, download KSRN and definitely check the network out. Online on the Kerry Lackey Law Line with me, the one, the only, Ed Cole, sports personality, former digital media producer for the Washington Redskins. And I want to start with baseball first. And I said, MLB really dropped the ball on this one. They could have been the only major sport out of the Big Four. They could have been the only one playing, and they dropped the ball. And I know I shouldn't choose the side, but I think the owners keep cutting the deal and then going back and saying, ooh, we may lose money here. So they keep trying to change the deal. And I know the players are saying some things that they should say, but to me it feels like the owners keep trying to change the deal on the players.
Yeah, yep. It went from 82 games up to 114 games, and then Major League Baseball rejected that offer from the players, and they didn't want to make a counter proposal. So it's just an absolute mess right now. Like you said, Paul, this would have been the perfect time for Major League Baseball to strike while the iron was hot. They would have been, like you said, the first of the major sports to come back and say, hey, we're gonna do this, whether it's, you know, 114 games. It's going to be an abbreviated season regardless, but at least we're going to have baseball come back, and, you know, we're going to have some semblance of a season, you know, playoffs, World Series, and all that stuff, All-Star game and whatever comes with it, and just to have baseball back, and, again, to bring the fans back in and get everybody excited for sports coming back. But, no, they're at an impasse right now, and we don't know what the heck's going to go on now.
You know, in all honesty, like I said, I know the players at first said maybe too much. I know Snell, the pitcher down in Tampa Bay, and Bryce Harper joined in and team with him. But when you got the owners that just won't show the books, and I firmly believe that baseball would be back. But from what I'm hearing and from me reaching out and talking to people, there's a couple teams that don't want baseball back this season because without the fans in the seats and the parking and the room from the fans, you know, with the hot dogs,
all the concessions, you're right.
Else,
yes.
By the time they pay the players, they would lose more than if they just didn't have a season at all. And from what I'm hearing, those are the owners that are standing in the way because, you know, cities like New York and Chicago and L.A. and Phoenix, they could care less. They'd rather bring it back because even with the TV revenue, they'll probably be okay. But I'm hearing some of these smaller cities, they don't want to pay a penny for an abbreviated season, especially without fans. I don't know if you've heard the same thing or not. But does that not seem like that has a lot of truth behind the scenes?
Sure it does. Yeah, all smaller markets, like, you know, like you said, Milwaukee and, you know, Pittsburgh, smaller markets like that have, you know, that would struggle, like you said, with no fans in the stadiums, like no parking, no concessions. That would really, really hurt that franchise. And I feel so bad for everyone that works in those or every single employee in those organizations that don't have anything right now. They don't have work, or they're out of work right now, and they were kind of counting and hoping that they would have a baseball season. That way they could come back and make some money and support their families and do what they need to do to survive. But if there's no season, they don't work this thing out. I feel so bad for everybody that works at the stadiums, you know, all the part-time workers and everybody else that are just involved in every one of these organizations that might not have any income coming in.
You know, what's really sad is years ago, we said Gary Bettman was the worst commissioner out of the major four. Rob Manfred is starting slowly to get that title away because the NHL, they said nothing. They just came in behind the scenes, got a deal
they
done.
Sure did.
They haven't released it yet, and they just got a deal done. You know, in basketball, Adam Silver has the trust of the owners and the players. They got a deal done. I'm starting to worry about Manfred and thinking, is he dropping a ball here? Is it him that he can't get both sides together?
Ultimately, it would come on the commissioner. You know, he is the face of Major League Baseball. Everything, you know, everybody looks to him. He is the leader. He's the number one guy. He is the top dog when it comes to Major League Baseball. And for him, if he cannot figure a way to get this together and get baseball going, this would be just a horrific stain on the sport of Major League Baseball and for him as well. And it would just hurt so bad to not have that sport back. You know, for us, that we can't cover it. Fans can't come see it. And whether it's at the stadiums or on TV, it would just hurt so bad to not have that sport for us to watch and love.
Ken Kendrick, the owner of the Diamondbacks, gave some hard dates of next week that if they don't get it done by then, it's going to be hard to get a season in. Ed, do they make those dates next week?
I would sure hope so. I would pray that they would. If they don't make that date, then what would they do? Would they just continue to lessen the amount of games that they would propose? Would it go less than 82 games, which was one of the original starting points? It would have to go less than 82, wouldn't it?
It would have to, because by the time they got a spring training in, let's say next week they said, okay, you know what, fine, we have a deal. Let's say we put the date next Wednesday, and they say, fine, June 10th, we've got a deal, we're going to come back, we're going to play. Well, you're going to need about, you know, three, just for the sake of pitchers' arms, you're going to need at least 3 weeks to get them ready to even just, you know, throw competitively off the mound 2 to 3 weeks. We're looking at July. Maybe they could be back by, like, July 14th with that date. So anything after that, you're pushing. And let's be honest. If baseball starts up the same time the NBA starts up, and the NBA has never played this time of the year, and they're basically doing a scramble to get in the playoffs and a scramble to start the playoffs where you're not going to have to watch, you know, the Knicks or the Bulls or teams that you really don't want to see because of they're not winners right now.
Right.
They're going to have more national audience. So baseball has to get it done by the 10th because and a 50-game baseball season makes no sense anyway. We all know that.
No.
Everyone that does baseball knows the season really starts meaning something after the All-Star game. Well, they've already played about 80 games, so if you cut it to 50, you're really getting a watered-down season.
It is. But Paul, if it comes to 50 games, 50 games is better than no games at all, right?
You know what? I say no. I think it gets to a point
really.
where the diminishing returns really don't mean anything. It'd be like if COVID-19 hit and the basketball season ended after 20 games and they came back and said, well, we're going to do a round robin and get playoffs, I would say that's a waste of time. It means nothing to me. It just means a team that's not as good as another team could have got hot for a round robin week. That wouldn't mean anything to me. If you only play 40 or 50 major league games, one guy gets a hamstring, one guy pulls this, one pitcher, your ace goes out, or a team. Look, how many teams have we seen get hot when the season starts? They make it to the All-Star break in first place, and then they end up a 500 team after. They were never really good, and they just got off to a hot start. If you play a 50-game season, you could have a bad team get off to a hot start, win the World Series, and not really be a good team. So I think anything less than 82 is diminishing.
And I guess you and I will come to a disagreement on that. I just want some sort of some kind of baseball, whether it's 50 games, 82. I just want baseball back. I want some sports back to get all of our minds off of what we're all going through right now. And if it's 50, it's 50. Just like I'm so happy that the NBA is coming back. All these teams are going to play 8 games, and you know we got 22 teams in there. So I'm just excited that some sports are coming back, Paul.
If the Low T Giants are playing the Kia Tigers live right now, baseball didn't leave. You just got to get behind the Kia Tigers in Korea on the Kerry Lucky Ball Line on the Cape Show of PLR, the one, the only, Ed Cole. And I want you to listen to something. I asked Monty about what's going on in the world right now. He had penned a beautiful open letter. And I asked him, does he think that obviously there's a lot of focus on what's happening, but does he think that focus was heightened because there is no sports? So athletes have a lot more time to point this out. People have more time to see what's happening and take the time because there aren't sports. COVID-19 means there's not a lot of people working. There's a lot of people working from home. And you know, as I know, people that work from home sometimes have a TV on. So I wanted his take on that, and this is what he gave me.
I don't know for sure, but I'm sure, you know, if we express to our players, like just from an NBA standpoint, the emotions of losing David Stern, Kobe Bryant, the coronavirus, and then you have this situation happen, I'm sure that's affected all of us in a way that we, you know, it's hard to put into words, you know, emotionally how we all feel. So I'm sure just the combination of all these things that have happened, and then you couple that with just your own personal stuff as a human being. Like, we're all frail, fragile, and broken people. And then we have the economies out of whack, and many of our relatives and people close to us are struggling financially. And that's a lot of stuff. And when you're in the position that our players are in, you typically are the one that most people come running to for help. And that's a lot of pressure to deal with. So I think you're spot on. There's just a lot of stuff going on, and you know, I'm sure because we're off and we have the time, we're probably more focused on it than we would have been. But that's a good thing. You know, I hope we stay focused on this so that we can come up with some solutions so that we don't have to continue to watch what happened in Georgia and what happened in Minneapolis. Like, I'm tired of seeing that. I'm tired of watching somebody else lose a loved one, and I know what it's like to get that phone call. Like, I'm tired of it, you know, and I don't mind being forceful when I say that. I am tired of seeing that kind of stuff on TV, and I'm tired.
Ed, your thoughts?
I agree with everything Coach Monty said. It's like you said, there's so much going on. We got into the situation with the coronavirus back in March, and you know, we're already dealing with wildfires and everything else that was going wrong. Like you said, we lost David Stern, we lost Kobe Bryant, we lost so many just wonderful people in the world, and then we got into this situation with COVID-19, and now millions and millions upon millions of people lost their jobs as a result of this, because you know, corporations had to they had to rethink their strategy on how they want to run their businesses. So they had to scale down their businesses, which would put people out of work, and that puts an even greater stress and strain on everybody across the world that are in this situation when they don't have jobs and they're trying to wonder and they're trying to scrape and scrounge to find their next meal to feed their children, to feed their husbands, their wives, their brothers, their sisters, and take care of their friends and family. And then this situation comes up with George Floyd in Minneapolis, and that just puts an even bigger powder keg on the bomb.
Yeah,
it's just so much like Monty said, Paul. Coach Monty said he put it so succinctly. It's just so much stuff going on, and like you said, all of us are at home. We're streaming. You know, we're watching Netflix and Hulu and all this other stuff, and we're trying to keep our minds occupied. And then this situation with George Floyd comes up last week, and then that just totally takes up all of our time and all of our. It occupies our mind so much. That's all we think about. That's all we're involved with, because that's all that's on social media. That's all we see on the internet. That's all we hear about when we talk to our friends and our family about what happened with George Floyd. And then this whole situation, put that on top of the coronavirus. It's just so much for us to handle as human beings. And it's really, really hard. I know it's hitting you as much as it's hitting myself and my family, you and your family, and everybody across the world. It's such a lot to take in. And it's overwhelming.
You know, and I'm gonna read something to you, because he wasn't the only one that penned an open letter. Aaron Baines penned an open letter as well, and I'll have
it. I read that. Great letter.
I have both of them posted up. I want to read just a quick outtake from that. He said, "I do not understand firsthand how a lifetime of generations of being oppressed feels. What I do know is it breaks my heart that people would judge my children or any other child based purely on the color of their skin." And I'm going to make fun of him a little bit. This is how you know he's from Australia, because he spelled color C-O-L-O-U-R. Those freaking Australians and Brits, man. Anyway, I now understand some of the fear, the anger, the helplessness, and the resilience that is the fight for equality. As a father, I care more about my children and their happiness than life itself. So instead of just bottling it up and working towards a goal in my silent ways, I have for most of my life, I want to let it out, breathe life into my beliefs through my words, and speak on this issue. I'm usually a private person. Most people don't know that my wife is black and we have mixed race children. I'm grateful for them, as they have taught me as much about myself as I have taught them about the world. And this is a dude, I've interviewed Aaron Baines, I can't tell you how many times. He literally put his heart into this letter and put it out to the world.
Yes.
Speaking of someone that's not just someone living in the United States, but a person of the world that grew up somewhere else with a different lifestyle, and how things affected him in his life to change. Very astute young man, Ed Cole.
Absolutely. Yeah, you and I, you know, we cover Suns games, and we're there all the time at the Talking Stick Resort Arena, and you know, we had Aaron Baines on a few times on the radio show after a couple of Suns wins, and he couldn't be the any nicer of a guy when he came, and he's just like you said, he is an Australian. He'll come back. He comes down, and he's got his Australian accent. He talks. He's mate, and this and that, and he's just as nice as you can be. And I'm looking at the letter right now, as I'm sure you are, and other people have read this. I mean, he poured his heart and soul into this letter, and I commend him and I respect him for coming out and just expressing himself and how he feels about this situation and how it's affecting his family and how much he loves his family and just what he would do for his kids and just whatever he would do to make sure his family is safe and well taken care of and loved.
I'm the Kerry Lackey Law Line, the one, the only, Ed Cole, former digital media producer for the Washington Redskins, sports personality in the Valley. You've heard him everywhere from 1060 to 98.7, to Fox Sports. He's all over the place. He is truly the man who has a lot of insight on what's happening in sports. You know, Ed, it's funny because basketball, for some reason, seems to always lead the way when it comes to out of all the sports. But you see more athletes now. And like I said, I wonder if it's because of time, being more vocal about things. Now, Aaron Baines actually even did a conference call with the media, and I'll have some of that up on social media a little bit later. We got the copy of it real close to airtime, so I didn't have a chance to get it loaded up, but I will definitely play snippets of that tomorrow as well. But as we see other sports trying to do the same thing, it makes me jump to football here and say, Colin Kaepernick did something a few years ago and kept saying, I'm not talking about the flag. I'm talking about the brutality. And he, in essence, got blackballed. I mean, there's no other way to say it. He got blackballed from the NFL. And then Drew Brees comes out yesterday and just said what was on his – I mean, honestly, in my opinion, he said the way he felt. He still equated kneeling to the flag and talked about his grandfather's fighting the wars and how he would never disrespect the flag. He caught a lot of backlash. Today, he apologized for that backlash. Jake Fromm, young quarterback out of Georgia, said in a tweet, a past tweet, that, you know, guns should be owned by elite, basically elite white people. He since come out and apologized. And I know people can change colors. I know they can change the way they look at life. I'll take these separately. Can Drew Brees change that quick in 12 hours after backlash? Or do we just say, hey, he said what he feels, I say leave him alone. And in the case of Jake Fromm, are we going to chalk it up to him being a young kid? Or are we going to hold him accountable for the words he said? And you can take them separately. You can put them together. It's up to you. But the floor is yours.
Well, with Jake Fromm, he has to be accountable for his actions. And that tweet that he's put out in 2019 saying that, using the quote-unquote elite white person inside of that tweet, that's something, and we've seen it with schools, with some young people that put insensitive things on social media. There's been stories here in Arizona. There's been a story at Marquette. There's been a story of a young person at Missouri getting their scholarships taken away and them getting de-enrolled from the school that they applied to and got accepted to because of what they put on social media. And now we see what this comes this is coming all about with Jake Fromm and what he put in his tweet a year or so ago with that. It's just you have to watch what you say and what you do, especially you're Jake Fromm. You know, you're the quarterback at Georgia. Now you're with the Buffalo Bills, and now you're in even more of a bigger spotlight because you're in the National Football League now, and you're a quarterback in the National Football League, and all eyes are on you. And, of course, people are watching your social media accounts. They're watching everything that you do with a microscope, and you have to watch and watch what you say and do because it's going to come back on you because you think you put a tweet out and you may delete it or you may forget about it and think it may not come back on you. But now Jake Fromm is a classic example of what you put out on social media coming back on you, and that's something he's going to have to work to repair any fractured relationships that I'm sure he may have with his teammates and other people in the National Football League and other people that he comes in contact with on a daily basis based on that tweet, because I'm sure he's enraged a lot of people with that. And he can say what he wants. He can apologize as much as he wants, but he's going to have to work really hard to gain the trust and respect of his teammates back and everybody else that looks up to him and his position.
Yeah.
And as far as Breeze is concerned, again, like you said, he spoke from his heart, and like you said, wow, that's you know, I feel for Drew because I have an idea of what he was trying to say, what he was trying to put out in that interview he did with Forbes, but it totally went the wrong way, and Malcolm Jenkins, Alvin Kamara, and a couple of his other teammates just did not like that, and a lot of other NFL players and a lot of other people around the world just looked at Drew Brees like, really? Oh my gosh, that's not right. No, you totally missed the ball. You totally missed the mark, quote unquote, completely missed the mark on what you said as far as your interview is concerned. And yes, he went back and apologized for it. But what do you think, Paul? I mean, it's just he apologized for it. We all know Drew Brees is a great guy from what we see. You know, in front of the cameras, we don't know him personally. So I would assume that he's a great guy behind the scenes when the cameras are not off. But he was trying to get a point across, and he was trying to relay the part about he would never agree with anybody disrespecting the flag. But other people took it the wrong way, and now it's actually grown into something bigger than what he thought it was going to be.
And I think two things. One of the biggest people that came out was the person that he makes a living throwing a ball to, Michael Thomas.
So Michael Thomas,
Basically tweeted, he don't know no better. which I look, Malcolm Jenkins, long quote, Ryan Clark, long answers, all that. Honestly, Michael Thomas just making that phrase, he doesn't know any better to me, said worlds over what anyone else could say. He spoke. I'm a firm believer of this. I don't think people, whether their opinion is right, wrong, indifferent, you agree, you disagree, if they're speaking from their heart, I don't think you should shame them into your way of thinking. If that's truly the way he feels, maybe instead of shaming him into writing an apology that is, this is me saying it, not you, which is bullshit, I would much prefer him to say, you know what, this is the way I feel. Maybe there's a way for me to understand better, and I'll do more to try to understand better. I could respect that more than the, dang, they got on me. Let me apologize real quick or think of a way I can clean this up. I honestly would take that more truthful than the Sanka Insta Coffee apology. That actually annoys me, to be honest with you. I've never liked that, because to me that's not – you have two sons, and you know how it is when you tell one son they're fighting, they're into it, and you tell them, go say you're sorry, and they go, sorry. You're like, no, say it like you mean it. And then they go, fine, sorry. They still didn't mean it. So part of you is like, you're making them say it because you know that's the right thing to do, but you know deep down, they're not sorry. So – I feel kind of the same way with what Drew Brees did. As far as Jake Fromm, the only thing I can think, again, this is me saying it, not you, because we all know I'm like when Eddie Murphy said in a movie, you have a foul mouth, I have a foul mouth. I bet the Buffalo Bills are like, oh, shit, here we go again. We just got over this with Josh Allen. Now we got to do this again? Man, what is up with the quarterbacks we pick? So you know they have to be thinking that in the back of their minds.
Yeah, I'm sure the Bills PR department is kind of like, oh my goodness gracious, you know, how can we put how can we get a positive spin on this and kind of make everything better? It's hard when it's hard evidence out there that Fromm put that tweet out there with that quote unquote elite white people in there. It's, I mean, how can you justify that? You can apologize again. Fromm can apologize and get in front of as many cameras and microphones as possible and just apologize for that. But that's going to run with him for the rest of his life that he actually went out and said that. And in this day and age, in the climate that we're living in culturally, oh my gosh, that's another powder keg right there, Paul.
Yeah, that was just nuts. I mean, in all honesty, that was just nuts. That made no sense. And you would think here's my thing. So I know there are people that go digging into in the past, and they look back to a tweet you did in like 2012, 2013, 2014. Yep. Mm-hmm. Comedians having to apologize for jokes. Even on that, I say, you know what? Dang, if you're gonna go back and make all comedians apologize for some of the jokes they told, you know, 10 years ago, when obviously socially people have grown and changed, then maybe that might be a little bit too far. But he saw what happened. I would hope he saw what happened with Josh Allen, not knowing he'd ever be a teammate, but what he went through 2 years ago, not to make that same mistake now. So on that, I'm saying, I don't know if I'm going to give the same pass because you already saw the example. And yet and still you went out and you did it anyway. And so, and as fathers, we do that. We know that. Your kid does something, and then they get in trouble for it, and the other kid does it, and you're like, nah, I know you just saw it. Him get in trouble. You're not going to get a pass because you already knew better.
Right. Yeah, so, you should know better.
You should know. You just, like, what are you doing? So we shall see how it all breaks down and what happens with everything. But and one more thing before I let you go. The NBA has
yes, sir.
They're going to play a playoffs, which is probably one of the most confusing playoffs that I've ever seen in my life. Now, the Suns are in, so I don't care. The Suns are in, and I know I'm supposed to allegedly be neutral on this. I'm not. I'm still mad that the Bulls didn't get in because technically they're just as close, but I know they suck anyway. But I'm going to read a little bit of this to you, and I want you to take out your calculus book, okay? Each returning team will play 8 seeding games and selected from its remaining regular season matchups. At the conclusion of the seeding games, the 7 teams in each conference with the best combined records across regular season games, and seeding games will qualify for the playoffs. Okay, I get that. But if the team with the 8th best combined record in its conference is more than 4 games ahead of the team with the 9th best combined record in the same conference, then the team with the 8th best record would earn the 8th playoff seed. If the team with the 8th best combined record in its conference, Team A, is 4 games or fewer ahead of the team with the 9th best combined record in the same conference, Team B, then Team A and B will compete in a play-in tournament, determine the 8th playoff seed. To earn the 8th playoff seed, Team A would need to defeat Team B once, and Team B would need to defeat Team A 2 games in a row.
Twice. Yes.
Repeat that back to me 5 times.
I couldn't repeat it once.
You know what it's called? I'm going to tell you what that's called. Get Zion into the playoffs any way you can.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we're going to call. We don't really have to call anything else. We're playing these 8 for Zion. So, more Zion, more better.
Could that be any more confusing, Paul? Yeah, the play-in tournament will include the number 8 and number 9 teams in a conference. If the 9th seed finishes the regular season within 4 games of the 8th, in that case, the number 9 seed would need to beat the number 8 seed twice during the playoff berth, while the number 8 would only need to beat the number 9 once of the two. They said that's what they came up with?
And the way they set it up, and it's funny because Damian Lillard, who said he'd only play if they have a shot to make the playoffs, yet his team, oops, was I supposed to not say that, voted against.
The Trailblazers were the only team to vote against it, yeah.
Yeah, but you tell me this, I mean,
Look, the NBA can say what they want. I love the NBA. I really, truly do. But this is so slanted. For them to put in the Memphis Grizzlies with the Rookie of the Year, the Portland Trailblazers with Dame Lillard, and the Pelicans with Zion. And Sacramento was close. And San Antonio with Pop. And Phoenix with Devin Booker and Ayton.
And Washington
and
with Bradley Beal.
Bradley, you know, they're in. But in the East, you throw in Washington with Brad Beal. But we know doggone well, if you look at the standings and you're fair about this, Charlotte and Chicago should have got in. But Charlotte has some people we ain't never heard of, and the Bulls have some people we ain't never heard of that don't draw anybody. So I think it was a little slanted towards the West, just my opinion. But, you know, I found that kind of funny. But, yo, man, I want to leave in saying this. There's so much in the world that I think sometimes we forget some of the positivities and some of the things that are out there. I looked up and I'm watching protesters march across the Brooklyn Bridge in New York very peaceably in a way that's bringing respect to their cause. I watch young kids in Chandler, Arizona last night, watch them march down Arizona Avenue. I just want to make sure that I'm not leaving this out. There is a difference between a looter and a protester. And when we see open letters, we see coaches taking video calls, we see players on video calls, and I'm tying this to sports just to make this fit this show in terms of the players doing it, the coaches doing it, organizations doing it. They're doing this to show that there is not equality. There is a difference in this world. When all know there are good cops, we all know there are some bad cops. But when one side is only showing the looting and saying, look at how they protest, or saying, you know, they're going to make it seem like 90% of the cops are bad, when we know they're not. When we're watching cops kneel, walk, speak, and do all this with protesters, I think people are forgetting it. There is a difference. LeBron spoke on this. Malcolm Jenkins spoke on this. We have different politicians. We have different clergy people. The day has not ended. When I have to explain to my black sons the rules of getting stopped, when the day comes that I don't have to explain to my sons the rules of getting stopped by an officer just in case they got that bad one, then maybe I'll say there's some equality. Because no matter what anyone else says, I know this from talking to friends. I know this from it being the truth. White parents don't have to tell their sons what to say when they get pulled over by a police officer. They tell them to be polite because the cop is probably doing their job. We have to add another layer. And until that stops, there is no real equality. And that's just one example.
And Paul, and when your sons are old enough to drive, like my son Cameron is, and he's out and he's active and he's going out with his friends. Like today he went out to get coffee this morning, and the other day he went out and did some ransom errands for his grandmother, and he's going here and there, and I'm saying, Cameron, can you go here to get this and get this and get that? And the entire time he is gone, I'm worried for him. I'm absolutely terrified that I'm going to get a call, or he's going to call me, or somebody's going to call me and tell me something horrible happened to him. And sometimes my heart just freezes out of panic, Paul, because I'm so scared for him that he might not come back. And as parents, you and I and every other a black parent out there with black young men as sons, we all go through this, and it's just oh my gosh, it just scares me every single time he goes out. But I love when he comes back. I'm like, oh, my boy's back. He's safe.
Yeah.
God is good. Cameron's back, you know, but there's so many parents out there who have sons who don't come back.
And Ed, you know what? There comes a point where you're getting more respect. I'm looking at our peers, and I'm being honest. And if they don't like what I'm about to say, that's their problem, not mine. When I'm looking at our peers and I'm seeing some tweets, some of our peers are showing who they are, not just by what they're tweeting, by what they're not tweeting. There are some out there who are saying, look, I may not understand exactly what you're going through, but explain it to me because I want to do what I can to help.
Yeah.
I want to help. If it's not for my generation, the next one. You're seeing that. And it's some of our peers
in
this valley that we sit next to at games that talk all they want on their show, do all they want on their, you know, on their websites, their podcasts, their radio shows, their live shows, their on-air shows. They're not tweeting one thing about equality. They're not tweeting one thing about anything. They're pretending like it's not there. If you're turning a blind eye, to me, you're just as guilty. And I'm honestly going to look at you side-eyed for a long time. And there's no way I'm going to change that until you show me something that makes me think otherwise of you and your character.
But Paul, all we can do, you and I and the other, you know, black journalists here and across the country, across the world, all we can do is just continue to be a beacon, continue to just show up and show everyone that all black men aren't what the media portray us to be. You and I can show that, and every other black journalist and every other black man. We don't have to be just journalists. It can be just, you know, just any black man that you see that are a father. You don't have to be a father. Just any upstanding black man that respects themselves, that respects their community, their family, their friends, the entire world. Just be a beacon of hope. Just be there. And then eventually, hopefully, those people would see us and say, oh, you know what? Okay, cool. You know, maybe they'll change their thought process toward us and toward the entire situation that we're fighting for and fighting against.
Hey, I'm seeing tweets by, and you'll know these names, Jack Magruder saying what the hell, Dave King saying what the hell, Gerald Bourget saying what the hell, and there's more. I'm just naming a few.
Yeah.
But I'm seeing some that are saying nothing. And kudos to those, because you can't change, look, you can't change the inside of a house just because you paint the outside. And those cats are seeing it, they're understanding it, and they're making powerful statements with their words in their posts, in their tweets, on their websites, in their thoughts, in their words. But it's nothing new, because if you ever talk to those cats, you already know where their mindset is. But there's some out there makes you think. But hey, let me ask you this, because we only got a couple of minutes. How much is your chest sticking out these days with Cameron wrapping up his and making that next step to Sun Devil Land?
Brother, it's sticking out even more today. We had we had their commencement ceremony today, Brophy College Preparatory, where Cameron graduated from last week. Proudly, a week ago today, Cameron is a high school graduate from Brophy College Preparatory, class of 2020. So they had a commencement ceremony today over at North Phoenix Baptist Church, because we were going to have it tonight, but because of the curfew, they bumped everything up a day, up earlier today. So we had the ceremony today. The valedictorian spoke. The principal, Bob Ryan, he announced every single young man that graduated, which officially makes them official high school graduates. And Cameron got his yearbook, and he, you know, we did a nice little ceremony with him and Adrian, his mother, and we took pictures and everything. That's up on Instagram, and it's up on my LinkedIn page. It's up on my Facebook page. So we can be more prouder of Cameron for what he's accomplished, and God is so good to just bless him. And when he goes to Tempe, your stomping grounds, regardless of what fraternity he decides to join, I know you want him to go on one side, and his grandfather wants him on another side, because his grandfather rocked the red today. And I told him about you wanting Cameron to come over to the alpha side. He just laughed. He's like, I got to talk to Paul about that. But, bro, man, we couldn't be prouder of Cameron. We love that kid to death, man. And for him to go 4 years, and for all the graduates at Brophy and all the graduates across the world to go through what they had to go through, the class of 2020, to get where they are right now and to fight through what they've had to fight through this year. My hat's off to him and everybody else that walked their stages, whether it's virtually or, you know, Cameron got to walk the stage last week with his friends over a 3-day period. God bless all of you guys for fighting the good fight and getting that paper, that diploma.
Yo, man, I will say this. I saw a couple of pictures. I know I saw, unless my eyes were deceiving me, Mama was shedding a tear or two, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, yeah, Mama was shedding a tear or two, you know. I'm gonna be a man, you know. I'm secure of my manhood to say that I teared up a little bit, you know. It's my man, you know. It's my boy. Just like you will when you graduate from high school, and you're gonna be in the same boat I am today.
I know. And you know what though? I will say this: Cameron is a very fine young man, and the best
Thank
part
you.
About his entire journey so far, even though it's just really starting, is that he's showing his little brother how you make that next step and how important it is.
Yes, sir.
And how, you know, young men make mistakes, but how you balance those and you still stay the straight and narrow. And for all the things that everyone should be proud of him for accomplishing, that's one of the ones, setting that example for his little brother, I think has to be one of the best examples and one of the things he really should be commended for.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
So,
yeah, his little brother loves him to death, man. He loves him some candy.
Oh, man, little brothers love big brothers, but little brothers are a pain in the butt, man. Man, they drive you crazy. I sit here and watch him drive his brother crazy all the time. And then, you know, big brother
always jabbing. That's their job, Paul. You know, that's what they do.
Yep. Listen, I know I got a little brother, and it still drives me crazy. Ed, give everyone your info. We're down to the last 2.5 minutes.
Yes, sir. Catch me on Twitter at EdCole43, on Instagram, EdwardCole301, and just Edward Cole on Facebook. You can, you know, just hit me up on all those, and, you know, let's start some dialogue. Let's start some chat and talk some sports or whatever you want to talk about. Brother, I appreciate you having me on your program.
Man, I know that you said, just so you know, I know we had talked about doing Thursday or Friday, but the door is open for you if you want to hang tomorrow. Up to you. You can tell me later, but it's up to you if you want to close out the week with us. Your call all the way.
I'll text you and let you know what we got planned tomorrow.
Yep, so just let me know. But, man, please pass the love to the family, and please tell Cameron what I said about being a fine young man and that example that he's setting for his little brother. Man, that's so valuable. Please share that with him. And I saw him with all that red and white school colors. Man, it is amazing how much black and gold makes everything look better. Just thought I'd share that in closing.
There it is. I knew it was coming. And he's rocking the Brophy red, man. He's got to rock the Brophy red, right?
I get it. I'm just saying. I just know. And I like red because I wear a lot of black and red for the Bulls. But when you put that black and old gold on, man, everything changes in the world.
It just enhances it, huh?
Yeah, oh, it makes it better. It makes it better. It's like adding bacon.
Brother, much love to you and your family. I love you guys, man. You know, give Nassim and, you know, your boys, you know, hugs and kisses from us. We love you guys, man. Much love. And we can't wait to get together with you guys once we get through all this.
Yeah, once we get off curfew like we 16. All right, bro.
Mm-hmm.
We will catch up, and I appreciate you.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you. Love you, bro. Later.
Love you, too, bro. Talk to you. The one, the only, Ed Cole. One more day left. I appreciate him coming on, hanging with us on the Kerry Lackey Law Line. Real quick, the Sports Cave on the Twitter, Facebook, and the Instagram, Cave is with a K, thesportscave.com. Cave is with a K. You can get me directly on the Twitter at PLR on Sports. Thanks for the call in. Thanks, Ed Cole, for joining the show today. Tomorrow we will be back, and we'll be rolling with you one more time. This is the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Everyone, have a great rest of your Thursday.